Electronic gadgets and gizmos seem to be constantly getting smaller. Mobile phones and televisions are becoming thinner and lighter. There's a powerful microprocessor in every modern car, and tablet computers are becoming nearly ubiquitous. But where can electronics go from here? They can't carry on getting smaller, but they can become invisible and possibly seamlessly integrate themselves into everyday objects. To achieve this, we'll need new sorts of materials. And Dr. Andrew Flewitt from the Electronic Devices and Materials Group at Cambridge University is working on the materials that may make our electronics disappear in future. A lofty goal. Hello, Andrew.
Hi there.
So how are you going to do this?
Well, the challenge is really to find the right material that can actually work in the vast, diverse range of applications on a diverse range of surfaces. So if we think about trying to make electronics really on everyday objects, we need to be actually able to make it on things like plastic surfaces. So that's a real challenge. We're used to normal sort of crystalline silicon technology where we can take a silicon wafer and we can then process it in a lab, and we can work with very high temperatures and very expensive processes to make very small objects, to make a very high performance transistor.
Problem is, it's not terribly transparent, is it? So it's not terribly easy to make that work on a surface of a piece of packaging or even, you know, on a contact lens or something.
Precisely. So one approach might be to try and sort of make very small processes that you could mount onto another object. But that's always going to be somewhat intrusive and very unreliable as well. The weak point in most electronic devices is when you actually make a connection from one object to another. That's why sort of laptop display screens tend to break, and you might occasionally see a sort of row or column disappear because the interconnect has failed as you keep opening and closing your laptop computer. So it'd be much better to actually have everything integrated onto one substrate, and that makes it much more robust.
But much more difficult to do.
It is. And so that's why we have to look to new materials. We have to look away from silicon towards materials that we can actually just directly grow onto a diverse range of substrates like plastics.
Is the reason that the microprocessor industry is dominated by silicon purely because we found a material that did what we wanted to do and we have progressively optimised it and got better at working with it, and we just haven't bothered to look elsewhere in recent years because silicon has made our lives so easy? We've gone down that line.
Silicon has so many advantages. I mean, it's a wonderful, wonderful material, and we've become very good at engineering it. So we know what its physical limits are, and the object of an engineer is to try and get around sort of the limits that physicists try to put on us. So we've tried to wring absolutely everything out of silicon as a material, but we really are reaching the limits for the purposes of integrating electronics onto everyday objects. The challenge we face there is how you actually make the real device on a surface. What we normally do is to actually start with a gas phase of the elements that we want to make form the device, and then we make those gases condense onto a surface.
And this gives you a thin film.
Gives us the thin film, exactly. And by changing the composition of the gases we use, we can change the composition of the thin films. So we can go from having semiconductor materials to dielectric materials, which act as insulators, through to conductors. And there you start to get all the building blocks of making a complete electronic device. So we're looking at these new materials that might enable this.
So rather than using silicon, you're saying let's go to the periodic table and pull out some other elements that might have the right characteristics when treated this way to give us all the things that silicon can do and more. But, and this is the key thing, they will work in the context of a transparent surface.
Precisely.
Does such a pipe dream type material exist?
Absolutely.
What is it?
And they're the class of metal oxide materials. So this is where we work with physicists, because physicists are very good at modelling materials and telling us which of the metal oxides are actually going to be of use. So we've been looking particularly at zinc oxide, which is a very nice semiconductor, and we can play around with it by putting other elements in there, things like indium, gallium, to tailor its properties. So that's the point where we start to move from being physicists to engineers. How do we actually engineer the material to have the right properties for the device application.
So once you've got a material that you think will play ball, how do you turn it into something functional? You can coat a surface with it, so you could potentially make something that will stick onto a packet and be invisible, but how do you actually make it do things like be a display or react to an environment to tell me the milk in this container that you're about to put in your tea is off, don't use it?
So to actually achieve that, we're going to have lots of little elements or components to our full system. So at one level, you need transistors to actually do logic, to actually be able to take in information, process it, and do something with it. But then you're also going to need a power supply. So we need some power to actually drive this thing. We're going to need sensors to actually look at the environment they're in and take that information in. So maybe if we take the food packaging example, something that's actually monitoring, say, the milk in our food packaging and actually understanding what the chemistry going on in the milk is. Has it gone off or not? And then we're going to need a display probably to integrate in it as well, that's actually telling the end user what's going on, or maybe some wireless technology that then communicates with another object that then ultimately tells us what's happening to our milk.
But are we close to being able to do this, or are you literally at the stage where you're finding materials that could be a substitute for silicon, but actually making them do something, such as have the contact lens that shows me the map superimposed on the road ahead? Is that a way, way, way off?
We're a fair way down the line already. So the first products with these metal oxide materials are actually now starting to come to market. The first application for these is in displays, where there's been a real need to get higher quality displays based on new materials. So most flat panel displays, such as you have in your laptop computer or your mobile phone, use liquid crystal technology. The next generation is starting to emerge with organic light emitting diodes. And that's placing new requirements on the electronics that drives that. And it's turned us from using silicon in that application towards using these metal oxides already there. And some companies in the Far East have announced products that will come out in the next year that actually use these metal oxide materials. We tend to use the phrase IGZO as a buzz phrase for these indium gallium zinc oxide materials. So that will start to appear, and we can piggyback on that now to actually start using this material in other applications as well.
We'll have to get you back to find out once you've got them. Thank you very much, Andrew Flewitt from Cambridge University. Ben.